And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, as you can tell by the opening lines, I may be talking a little bit about prophecy, maybe a little bit about Israel, maybe some of the events in recent weeks and months, even years. And I hope the time that I take with you today, that you will listen carefully to everything that I tell you. Don't take everything I tell you as pure gospel truth, that I have it all right and everybody else has it wrong. There are a lot of opinions out there about Israel, a lot of opinions about end time prophecy. There is a lot of, well, dissension among Christians over these very topics. And very often, we run into divisions that come unnecessarily, that keep us from really living the Great Commission. In other words, to preach the gospel. We get so hung up in end time theology and this teacher is right and that teacher is wrong and this person's a heretic. I've heard it all. I've tried to follow prophecy from a number of points of view since I can remember, going back over 50 some odd years when I was in high school and college. And I thought that I had found professors or teachers or Bible teachers or pastors or authors that had it all together, had it all figured out. I'm one of those that read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. It was the hottest thing going back in the 1970s, and it was totally wrong. These prophecies that everything would come to pass by 1988 just didn't pan out, did it? And yet, many are still subscribing to that point of view, just saying, we must have had the dates a little off, or maybe it's something had to happen after this happened that we didn't see. Maybe the entire premise was incorrect to begin with. There are various extremes in looking at the book of Revelation. Now, like I say, this is a program I have been very hesitant to do, because unless you have the opportunity to hear the entire thing, you may misunderstand what I'm trying to say and what my intent is. And so I've been really debating whether I should even do this. But in light of stories that go back in recent years, I thought the time had come that we need to really just have a little discussion today on Truth to Ponder. Now, before I get into a lot of this, I want to share just a few quick thoughts. We are going to be celebrating, hard to believe, come August, our fourth anniversary of doing this program. And when I started Truth to Ponder, I did not know if it would last a month, 2 months. Would it make it to the election of 2020? Would it fizzle out by the end of the year? And here we are. We have increased our footprint. We are on WRMI a number of times every day. I don't even have the list in front of me. We're also on WTWW. And with your generosity, we can maintain that. I also would like you to keep me in prayer over the next couple of weeks. A lot of things going on in the background there as well. God has laid on my heart this mission and ministry of a small local church, which becomes a local church for many that do not have a church where they live. We do a lot online. And I am just humbled by the number of people that participate with us each Sunday. We also have been very blessed to get a construction permit to build a small Christian radio station in our community. Not a real powerhouse, but it'll serve the immediate area on FM. And we hope to have that built out this summer. I'll tell you more about that as we head toward the break in just a little while. God is opening up some doors. And I'm trying to assess where God is calling me in this ministry and the ministry of the church. And like I say, this radio program. Because I really do believe we are living in unprecedented times. But it may not be the way some people think. And even I've had to rethink many things that I once thought that I knew. And that's why today's program. There's no way in a short time that I can give you a crash course in prophetic theology. And I know for some of you, you're going to disagree with some of what I have to say, if not all of what I have to say. But listen, please, to what I have to say. First thing, you out there like me, if we are followers of Christ, what is our first responsibility? It's to share the good news of the gospel. Not to be arguing among ourselves on things that we thoroughly do not fully understand. There are a couple of extremes when it comes to the book of Revelation. On one side, you have individuals and church bodies and groups and theologians that firmly believe that pretty much everything in the book of Revelation was already fulfilled in 77 AD. In other words, there's nothing new. It's a done deal. Everything Jesus prophesied for the book of Revelation has come to pass. And they base that on the fall of Jerusalem, the dispersion of the Jews around the world, and on, they'll say that it's fulfilled. They will look at the words of Jesus. It says to these individuals, some of you standing here today will be alive when you see these things come to pass. And so those things had to have happened 2,000 years ago. On that, I agree. I do believe firmly that part of the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. But I differ with some of my friends on that side of the equation. Not everything has been fulfilled. Some, yes, but not all. Then the other extreme is that none of it has really been fulfilled. Or we're just beginning to see fulfillment today. And that's where books like the Left Behind series, that's where Hal Lindsey and many others, like the late great Planet Earth, there's another guy that had the 88 Reasons Jesus Will Return in 1988. I can remember back in 1987, I was working for Toccoa Falls College developing their radio ministries. And I was just in the beginning few years of my time there. And my wife's brother and his wife attended a church in Orlando, Florida. And this guy, Ken Wissenit, had come to talk at their church. And he was peddling his book, The 88 Reasons That Jesus Will Come in 1988. And everything was based purely on totally dispensational theology. The dispensations, you know, 2,000 years from the creation to the flood, 2,000 years from the flood to Jesus, and 2,000 years to now, so we got to be ushering in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is pure dispensationalism, something that was never taught in the church until recent centuries. And I mean, like, from the 1800s going forward. And they had that book. They mailed us a copy. They bought several for the family. They wanted us to be ready for the imminent return of Jesus within the year. And we need to buy more of these books and get them in the hands of everybody we know. Because the end is coming. And I remember reading the book one night in my living room in our little house in Toccoa, Georgia. And I just said, Lord, what should I think of this? And I felt this very peace come across over me, you know, to fear not. Don't get wrapped up in this silly book. That's pretty much what I thought. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not buying this. I just feel there's something wrong about these people that have it all figured out so perfectly, so aligned. And even though the Bible says we will not know, they say they do know. So they must be wrong if the Bible is true. And sure enough, 1988 came and went. And early in January of 1989, oh, I made a little calculation mistake. So here are the 89 reasons that Jesus will return in 1989. And after 1990 hit, we never heard from this guy again. Now, Hal Lindsey keeps writing or kept writing and kept preaching and kept pushing, even though everything he said in his book never came to pass. And so that should be a warning sign to you and I to be very cautious in this area of biblical prophecy. I do not claim to have all of the answers, but I do think that I've come to understand some things that help us in discerning going forward. Jesus said, always look for the signs of the seasons, that it's getting closer and closer. The Bible is just telling you, yeah, I've made a prophecy. And over time, you will look back and say, you know, that came true, or this already happened. But we don't know when the next thing is really going to drop. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the state of Israel, the people of Israel, the covenants, and the living body of Christ and the church, and what are their actual relationships. I can remember, I'm going to go back to 2015 for a few minutes. I was working for a different ministry, not going to identify it, and the host of that ministry was interviewing a so-called prophetess of God. I've mentioned this on the program before, but it bears mentioning it again in light of a lot of the events that are going on. In 2015, there were people out there trying to tell us that Jesus was coming super soon. And they had every reason that they pulled out of dispensational theology to make the claim. We're going to have the Star of Bethlehem reappear. I remember someone being interviewed on that program. I'm going, what kind of nonsense is this? Was nonsensical. But it was being put out there. And this one prophetess made the claim that Jesus came to her and woke her up to tell her, to tell everybody, that we had until the end of August, no later than the end of August, to prepare, or it's everlastingly too late. Well, that was August of 2015. I think we are 9 years beyond that now, or pretty close to it. And then we were told that 2016 was going to be the year. Just buckle up. It's going to be really rough. Obama's not going to leave the White House. It's going to be, you heard it all. Did it ever come to pass? Did these prophets, were they true? Were they correct? Were they right? No, they were wrong. Every one of them. And yet people still blindly follow these fools to their own demise. And they're so busy trying to get into this prophecy stuff, they don't have time to share the gospel. They're too busy consuming for themselves and assuming things that they don't understand. And then we had the next wave. I remember this one well. 2017, my wife and I were living in Georgia part of the time. Little town called Sky Valley, had a little tiny place that we had purchased and rehabbed, and it was directly in the line of the 2017 eclipse. And everybody said, well, the eclipse proves that Jesus is coming really, really soon. And there were all kind of prophecies and everything out there, the articles. It was just, the internet was just abuzz with all this stuff if you were in the right places. And the dispensationalists came out to say, yep, this is the sign in the stars and the moon and then the sun and men will. Then we just went through it again. How many weeks ago? And then, well, it's Bob, it's the sign of Jonah. Because don't you know that the eclipse this time crossed a few communities named Nineveh in the United States? Yeah, looked it up. Some of them had been named Nineveh at one time. They weren't anymore, or they were communities, and nobody even knew that name existed. Matter of fact, there are Ninevehs all over the world. The odds of hitting one in a line are pretty good. Well, this X marks the spot, or what? I mean, all of it. Then somebody had another one. Oh, that occurred many years ago, or the one that's going to occur in 20, whatever it is. Let me help you out with something scientific here. Every 18 months, approximately speaking, there is a total eclipse of the sun somewhere on the planet Earth. Roughly every 18 months, somewhere on the planet Earth, there's going to be an eclipse. The moon has its path that it travels, set in motion by God himself at creation. This planet Earth, in spite of its wobbles and what have you, makes its journey around the sun roughly every year, give or take a couple of minutes. And over time, that quarter day catches up. We have leap year, the way we do our calendar. Everything about this universe is well organized and predictable. These are not, maybe 1,000 years ago, maybe 2,000 years ago, nobody understood how this works. We know when the next eclipses are coming and where they're going to be on the planet and exactly what time of the day you're going to see the full eclipse in your community or some community overseas or in Africa or Asia or Europe. Why is it that dispensationalists, no offense, and others in the prophecy circle think that it's because it's the United States. It's got to be God's sign. Hey, Obama was right a number of years ago. President Obama made a statement that offended me at the time, but I hate to admit it, he was right when he said America is no longer a Christian nation. So what does it matter? We've given up the status of being, quote, a Christian nation many, many decades ago, and we've been sliding. There was a book put out, Slouching Toward Gomorrah. That's the United States. We share its demise frequently on this program. So I'm going to get into a couple of things. You can agree with me or disagree, but we need to begin. Just open, as I pray anytime I preach, I say, Lord, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us. I have been, in my life, all over the road theologically when it comes to these particular issues of prophecy. When I was younger and exposed for the first time to books like The Late Great Planet Earth and many evangelists and teachers and so-called prophets, I was really into this. And the book of Revelation is being revealed right before our eyes, and somehow the United States has got this huge part. How arrogant can we be to make that claim when there's nothing to back it up in Scripture? But the claim is made. And over the years, I've listened to these guys come and go. I go back to the days when they were selling books and then cassettes and then DVDs and CDs and now digital downloads. There are radio ministries growing on radio stations. And I've watched it, and I've watched them come and go. And so I'm not a skeptic. Don't get me wrong. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus is coming again in great power and glory. That there's no doubt in my mind about. But how does it all tie together? Where does Israel fit? Where does modern-day Israel fit? Now, dispensationalists will say that modern-day state of Israel and the Israelites are all one and the same. On the other extreme, they'll say, well, no. God's done with his people. I mean, yeah, he threw them out. You know, he's kicked him to the curb. It's now the church. And others that say, well, you know, God moved the mantle of Israel to Great Britain. You can read all of these articles, British Israel, the whole nine yards. And I'm skeptical of all of those claims. Is there a relationship between prophecy, modern day Israel? Yeah, I think that there is, but not necessarily the way many claim it to be. Are there Zionists out there? Yeah, there are. Are there evil Zionists out there? Yes, there are. You can see them in Hollywood. You can see them in business and banking. They have no love of God. If anything, they're atheistic at heart, and they do things that would break the heart of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, we're not going to be able to get into it, but just a little bit of, we'll do this topic a couple of days this week. I'm going to ask you a question. Answer it honestly. Is God a promise breaker? Does God make a promise and then say, I changed my mind and I'm not going to do it? I'm making a promise. I mean, God has said that I'm going to destroy a city. And somebody negotiates, but God, if I can find just so many righteous men, okay, if you can find them, I'm not going to destroy it. When it comes to the bottom line, the city got destroyed. Why? Because God already knew there was no righteous left in those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. I can show you other examples in the Bible. Well, what about Nineveh? God had called judgment on them. Well, lest they repent. If they don't repent, that's something we can understand. If they repent, God will spare them. If they don't repent, God will destroy them. So God is a promise keeper. And we need to understand that. God made a promise to Abram, who became Abraham. And the Jewish people, let's understand this. Like I say, I'm not going to be able to get into all of this today. I'm just trying to lay a few foundations that we'll get back to this week. Boy, I can just imagine some of you right now are going, well, Bob, that's not my theology. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. There is a relationship, yes. There are a lot of people of the chosen lineage of Abraham that have mocked God, have cursed God, and they will be judged accordingly by God. You can see throughout the Old Testament, how many times did this chosen band turn their backs on God, and how many times did he send his judgment upon them? How many times were they put into bondage? How many times were they held in bondage for centuries? Even in the time of Christ, once again, they were occupied by Rome. They were in bondage. Why? Because of their disobedience. Been a lot of disobedience, and still is. The secular state of Israel puts on a, quote, religious front. The secular state. Follow me on this. And just like the United States, the non-believers are the majority, but they're in a Zionist state. Okay, you following so far? I know some of you are scratching your head. Where are you going with this? There's a tiny remnant within Israel that are still looking for the Messiah and really believe it. You know, I've been reading all these stories. Well, the red heifers are coming. This, I don't know. I'm not going to say yay or nay. Is there a relationship? Yes. What is that relationship? I am not completely certain. Not yet. And I don't think we will for plenty of time to come. But there's a reason God bought this land back as the state of Israel, in my opinion. The Great Dispersal that occurred in 77, roughly AD, and now they're back. And even God uses people of hardened hearts, people that are not even believers, to accomplish his cause. And so I don't look at the state of Israel as God's chosen state and people and that they're part of the church or any of that. I don't see that at all. But I see them going through a process that they are blinded to even understand for themselves. It has been pointed out, and on this, with dispensationalists, I do agree. God made promises to his people, and that state of Israel should have been wiped off the face of the earth starting in 1949, right after its coming together, or in 1967 or 1973, or even in recent days and years. But they're still there. And I don't even think they understand why. Because they are still blinded. Now, that's about all I can get into today. Is there a spiritual Israel? Yes. We, as Gentile Christians, we are grafted onto the tree of life. That is what the Bible says, not what I say, what the Bible says. Am I a dispensationalist? Not necessarily. Do I believe in the rapture? No, I don't. That's Finneyism that came along in the 1800s, and we need to get into that one other day this week. Now, I want to go ahead and take my break right now. I've got more to share on the other side. But I want to take a moment. Like I say, we're going to talk about this a little bit this week. And I know it's a complex topic, and it's hard to do in this kind of a radio program, especially on shortwave. But you need to hear what I'm saying. Do you believe in the mission of Truth to Ponder? I know some of you may be going, well, your theology just messed with mine. Sorry, but let's talk about it openly. Let us come together and reason. If you do, would you consider keeping us on shortwave? Visit our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319, or support us using the support tab from the website, truth2ponder.com. And we will be right back. Right after this break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Bread of Adam coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. In Genesis 3, the curse is pronounced over man. It says, by the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread until you return to the earth. You got three elements. You got sweat, you have bread, and you have return to the earth, death. 2,000 years ago, a rabbi ate a Passover meal with his disciples. He came to undo the curse, to take away the curse and bring blessing. That night, he sweated in Gethsemane, sweat of the curse. But then he also ate the bread. Passover was the feast of bread, of unleavened bread. And he linked it together. As he lifted up the bread, he linked bread with death, just as it was in the curse. As bread was linked to death, so he linked the bread with his death, because he came to take away the curse to bring you blessing. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that's what it is. It's to remind us of that. He has taken away your curse, so you will no longer be under a curse. So don't live any longer as if you were cursed. Don't live complaining and bemoaning and being in fear and bondage and depressed, anxiety. Be free. Live your life as if you were blessed, because you are blessed. Because he ate the bread and he sweated and he gave his life so you would be set free from all curses. And so your life would be a blessing. Your life is no longer under a curse, for Messiah has eaten the bread and then he has taken our death away. So you would be blessed and there would be no more curse upon your life. Live in the blessing. Now, how'd you like to receive special daily meditations and teachings with the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus? To give you victory for every day of your week, updates on Israel and prophecy, more teachings like this, subscription to Sapphires free, and the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors. You'll love it. How do you get all this free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. I invite you to join me in the Great Commission to bring salvation to his ancient people, the Jewish people, Israel, who gave you the gospel, and to reach millions of unsaved people around the world. Incredible. You can blanket the earth through shortwave radio. We do it every week. You can be part. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey, 07644. It's a Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, be blessed, my friend, in the blessing in Messiah, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to Truth to Ponder for this Monday. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Real quick, a little bit of an update on the radio station project for Southwest Virginia for the Chilhowee, Marion, Glade Springs area, 7 Mile Ford. We have located a better tower site for our need. And we have some of the funds in hand. We do need some more to get on the air this summer. The radio station will not just serve around here, but you'll be able to hear it online. We plan to play a lot of Christian music that's not just the marketed music of today, but a mix of traditional and always Christ-centered music, teaching, and programs. Now, there's some big programs I'd like to get, but we may not be able to. But I'm going to find those unique voices out there to put on this station, and I believe that it'll be a comfort to many of you. So keep the new radio station, WMYC, those are the call letters, 93.3, in your prayer. And we will tell you more about it as the days go by. Now, like I say, we broached on some topics today, and you know, if you want to just appease the audience, give them what they want to hear. If my only goal in doing this radio station was to tickle your ears so you'd support it, I don't think God could bless that. And I know there are going to be times that you and I are going to disagree, and that's okay. We can learn from each other. And later this week, I'm going to get back to talking a little bit about Israel, what I believe is beginning to develop in the Middle East, where it may or may not fit into Bible prophecy, why I'm not so much a dispensationalist as some of you may be. But does that separate us? Does that make us enemies? Of course not. Jim Calhoun has been thinking about some of the big issues of the day, what's going on in Eastern Europe, and what's going on even in the Middle East. And so I asked Jim to, as he said, ask some questions to help us to think. And so, Jim, I'm going to welcome you to the program and share your thoughts on some of these stories you and I both are seeing.
Thanks, Bob. And once again, it's great to be back on Truth to Ponder. I have kind of a ticklish subject I'm going to talk about today. I'm just going to ask questions. And I want you to make up your own mind, because I think that's very important. Most of the people that listen to Truth to Ponder realize that we're living in a very perilous time, very dangerous. And there are decisions that you can make or decide not to make. You could be apathetic. You can be energetic about something. You can be totally lethargic. There's so many things you can do with the information you get. But you need to know that some of the things you're being told are propaganda. And if you act on everything that you see on social media, and believe me, there is so much propaganda going on social media, that is just absolutely stunning. And so I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to see where you line up. But you don't have to tell me. You need to tell yourself. And if it lines up with God's will, then stay true to that. But don't go chasing things like a dog chasing his own tail. That gets you nowhere. And right now we have so much propaganda out there that it's amazing. I'm going to start with the war over in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia. And before I go any farther, I am of firm belief that two wrongs don't make a right. But my first question is do you condone the killing of innocent people? And why is it that we see civilians being targeted over and over and over again in the Ukrainian conflict? Civilians are being targeted on a daily basis. And it seems that one of the armies over there is constantly killing civilians. The other army is killing civilians as well, but they're not targeting them. They're collateral damage for the most part. And would you support the side that was purposely flying drones over bus stops and dropping hand grenades and things on people just waiting to go to work? Would you condone that? I guess I'll weigh in on this. Well, I wouldn't. I don't care whose side is doing that. It's wrong. But yet, the media is telling us that one side is evil, one side is good. Have you ever considered that both sides could be evil? Well, I have. There's an awful lot of dynamics here that we don't know about. And we have people that are standing by Ukraine no matter what. Well, it happens that the Ukrainians are the ones that are killing the civilians. That's what started the whole thing in the first place. And as Russia takes territory, as the Ukrainians are retreating, they're lobbing mortar shells and throwing hand grenades and sending missiles and drones over to kill more civilians that happen to be Ukrainians, by the way. They happen to speak Russian, and so they're the enemy just because of their ethnicity. Another question. If people were targeted in the United States because of their ethnicity, would that be right? Well, of course it wouldn't. But we're condoning that happening in Ukraine. Now, I wish Russia would go home. I wish the whole war would be done, because I do have Ukrainian friends, and they're wonderful people. But what I see happening, and I'm going to interject my opinion here, I think the Ukrainians are being wiped out on purpose. I think it's an effort from all sides. When you have Ukrainians are basically kidnapping children and taking them to the front line, handing them a gun and say, there you go, sport. Good luck. And that's what's happening. You know, one of the sickest pictures in World War II, not from the death standpoint, but just from the idea of what happened, other than the atrocity of the atomic bombs, was absolutely just frightening. But it's the picture of Hitler out there with his Hitler Youth as the Russians were closing in on the bunker. And Hitler was reviewing his troops, and they were 10 and 11 and 12 years old. And they died. Anybody that had a gun in their hand was considered a combatant, and they were killed. And so this evil dictator was sending children to die for him. And right now, in Ukraine, we have the same thing happening on a very large scale. The children aren't quite 10 and 12 yet, but eventually they will be. Another question. Is the United States a democracy? Are we fighting for democracy? If you say yes, you're going to have to do some studying. Our founding fathers considered a democracy and decided against it. We're a democratic form of government, but we're not a democracy. And I don't believe there's any true democracies anywhere on earth. We're a constitutional republic, and there's a huge difference between that and a democracy. And if you think we're a democracy, you need to study what a democracy is, and you need to study why our founding fathers decided against it. But yet, the news media and all this propaganda, democracy, democracy, we have to fight for democracy. We're sending young men and women to die all over this earth for something that really doesn't even exist. Of course, we have democratic forms of government everywhere, but England's not a democracy. Neither is France or Germany or any other country. They're not democracies. They are a democratic form of government, but they're not democracies. Because a democracy is nothing more than mob rule. He who has the biggest mob gets their way. That's what a democracy truly is. You need to do some studying on that. And when you have people telling you that you have to fight for democracy and be for democracy, know that these people do not know what they're talking about. And so you need to really be leery of what they're telling you. That's one of the big propaganda lies that's happening. Now, I know Russia's committed atrocities over in Ukraine. It happens in war. No matter which side, no matter which war, you're going to find atrocities. I know that in World War II, my uncle was somewhere in the Pacific on one of the islands, and he had the pleasure of burying many Japanese soldiers that were executed by American soldiers that were prisoners, that were executed. And that memory haunted him till the day he died. And so don't say that atrocities don't happen, because they do. And you can't hold a country hostage to what one or two or a group of rogue soldiers do. And that goes for Russia and Ukraine. But when it's policy, when it comes from the top, well, then you have to hold the government accountable. And the whole Ukrainian thing started because it was policy to try to wipe out the Russian-speaking Ukrainians. 14,000 or more people, civilians, were killed before Russia stepped in. That's the truth of the matter. And as the truth has been getting out more all the time, I don't hardly ever see a Ukrainian flag anymore. But you need to be very careful about the information you're getting out of Ukraine. And another question I want to ask you is, if we had a country that was openly hostile to us, put missiles in Mexico pointing at us, missiles in Cuba, missiles in Jamaica, missiles in Canada, and had missiles off our west coast, would we tolerate that? Or would we, as a government, protest and ask for security and get those missiles gone by diplomatic means? And then if that didn't work, would we take those missiles out because they're a threat to our country? Well, that's a pretty easy one to answer, but I think we can all agree that those missiles would have to go. Now you need to pull up a map of Russia and also China, and see where the military bases are that are opposing Russia and China, and see where the nuclear weapons are and where they're pointing. And in the case of Russia, ask yourself, are they being unreasonable, demanding some security from these missiles and the military bases that are surrounding their country? Now, I don't really care for Vladimir Putin. I don't really care for the people in his government. But I do know that Russia does not have a base in Mexico, and they don't have any in Canada or Jamaica or Cuba. And so I wonder why we have bases circling them. That's just me. I'm just wondering why. Like I say, two wrongs don't make a right. But I still would like someone to answer the question, what has Russia done for us to spend all these billions of dollars and put all these military bases and missiles pointing at them? What have they done? One of the propaganda things is, well, Putin wants to be the new Hitler. He wants to be Napoleon. He wants to rule the world. I have to ask you a question. Which country on earth has the most military bases scattered all over everywhere? And if you don't do what that country says, they'll sanction you. And if that doesn't work, they'll invade you. Which country on earth has done that over the last 25 years? Just answer that question, and then you'll kind of know where I'm coming from on that. But I think that we need to understand that there's so much propaganda out there that they're trying to confuse us. And it really comes down between right versus wrong, good versus evil. And I'm not saying that any of these sides are good, because I think they're both evil. But don't pick the side of evil and say it's good. That's all I'm saying. Now I'm going to move on to the conflict over in the Middle East. There are thousands upon thousands of articles and postings on social media, videos, claiming that Israel has to be defended, Israel has to be supported, because they are God's chosen people, and Israel is the apple of God's eye. And most disturbing is the posts that say the Jewish people are the original people of God, and the Gentiles are just an addition. We're just kind of like baggage. And the Jewish are the true people of God, and the Gentiles are just our kind of second-class citizens, so to speak. And I've seen an awful lot of that. And so I thought I would address that. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that Israel of the Bible is exactly the same as the modern-day Israel? Second question is that, do you think it takes the blood of Jesus to be saved? You think that you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior to be saved? To become a child of God, do you think that you have to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you simply think you have to move to Israel and become a citizen of that country? Which is the way of salvation? Next question is, did the Jewish people reject Jesus when Jesus walked the earth? And I'm not saying that the descendants of those people are still in the modern-day Israel, because modern-day Israel is a melting pot of Jewish people from all over the world. But my next question is, since the Jewish people of ancient times rejected Jesus, do they still reject him, or is Israel a Christian nation? And another question is, does the Bible make a distinction that says that only Gentiles have to accept Jesus to be a child of God? Does the Bible state that just because you're of Jewish heritage, that you get a pass on that, that you don't have to believe in Jesus? And yes, the Bible does say that Israel is the apple of his eye, and the Bible does state that Israel is God's chosen people. But these people that are pushing this narrative also are omitting the fact that when the tribes of Israel rebelled against God and rejected God, that he withdrew his protection, and they were sold into slavery, and they were conquered, their temples destroyed, and ultimately their tribes were scattered. And I have read in the Bible that the Jews were called sons of Satan. And of course, that's omitted from any of this propaganda. And also, most of these posts say, besides, Jesus was a Jew. That's where I have to come in and give you my opinion. Was Jesus a Jew, or was he the Son of God? Of course, there's Jewish roots there. There had to be, because that's how God set it up. And it's my understanding that the Israelis were God's chosen people just for that purpose, that the Messiah was going to come through those bloodlines. Hence, they were the chosen people. They weren't chosen to be able to do anything they wanted to do to anybody with impunity. That's not the reason they're called God's chosen people. But what disturbs me most about these Facebook posts that are claiming that we have to support Israel no matter what, they will point at an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which is very biblical. But you can't say that if someone knocks your tooth out, you kill that person, their family, and all their relatives, and maybe everyone in their town. You knock their tooth out, you don't wipe their whole family out of existence. And what the Palestinians had a hand in, I don't think that they did it alone, but back in October when they did the surprise attack on Israel, that was atrocious. And those people need to be caught and punished. I support that 1,000,000%. but to kill tens of thousands of people that had nothing to do with it. And I've heard people say there's no such thing as an innocent Palestinian. Well, I'm going to ask you another question. If our corrupt politicians start a nuclear war against the will of we the people, and heaven forbid we have cities annihilated in this country, would you support the position of the people that are bombing us if they said there's no innocent Americans? And there's one thing that bothers me about all of this division that's over in the Middle East, and I'm going to bring it closer to home. We seem to think Israel is the chosen people and therefore a chosen country. But what about the Arabs that happen to live in Israel? Are they Israelis too? What about the Palestinians, Christians, and other people that live in Israel? Are they Israelis too? A lot of people say, no, they're Arabs. No, they're Palestinians. They're not Israelis. So does that mean if we in the United States tell all the people of Mexican descent that happen to be in the United States legally, true citizens of our country, are we to tell them they're no longer Americans, that they're Mexicans? In World War II, we rounded up Japanese Americans and we put them in internment camps. And why didn't we do that to the Germans, the German Americans? Seemed like the Japanese Americans kind of lost their rights, didn't they? And to follow the logic to exterminate the Palestinians, well, I would say the Mexican drug lords, the cartels are a pretty bad bunch. Does that mean that all Mexicans deserve to die because of the cartels? And before you say, well, the cartels didn't attack us and they didn't kill a lot of people, just check the death records of the overdoses of fentanyl and the other drugs that the drug lords of Mexico are pushing across our border. We have lost infinitely more people to the Mexican cartels than the Israelis have lost to the Palestinians. And so if a Muslim lives in Israel, does that mean that they're a chosen person too? And a Palestinian that lives in Israel, does that make them the apple of God's eye? What I'm getting at is Israel is a fractured country. It's a melting pot, just like the United States. It's not the bloodline that was God's chosen people. And if you would tell an Arab or a Palestinian that lives in the United States that they're not Americans, that they're Arabs and they're Palestinians, and nobody should call them Americans, even though they're American citizens, that would be discrimination, racism, and it would just be wrong. And so why do we do that for Israel? Why do we say that an Arab is not an Israeli or a Palestinian is not an Israeli? And my final thought on this little rabbit trail is the United States Congress has just deemed a slogan used by the Palestinian supporters, "From the rivers to the sea, Palestine will be free." They have deemed that as hate speech. And they've deemed it as hate speech because they say it's anti-Semitic, which lets me know the kind of people that are in our Congress, because the Palestinians are Semites. Can you see how the propaganda has warped everyone's minds here? Israel is just a country, and it's doing a lot of damage right now. It's killing a lot of people, it's committing genocide, and it needs to stop. See, you can't have it both ways. I have read so many times that there's no innocent Palestinians. And of course there are. They're human beings. The Israelis are human beings. We're all human beings. But we have dark evil forces turning us against each other, trying to make us hate each other, trying to make us not think. And that's the spirit that I want to offer this show. I want to have you think. As you hear the propaganda, think. Ask yourself some honest questions. Search your soul. And keep yourself on the right path. And in closing, the reason I decided to do this segment is that good Christian people that are well-founded, that love Jesus, are somehow buying into this Christians are second class to God, the Jewish people are first, and it seems like they're acting like the Jewish people are the true children of God, and that they're the ones that are saved, and that they're the ones that are going to inherit the earth, and they are the ones that are the true children of God. And for a Christian to have that position, they have to examine their own Christianity, because the blood of Jesus changed an awful lot of things. And to call yourself second class to God because you're not Jewish, you're denying the blood of Jesus, because Jesus shed his blood for you and me. And the Bible clearly states what it takes to be a child of God, what it takes for salvation. And so don't get wrapped up with some ancient heritage, because you have to put the blood of Jesus first and foremost. Because if you don't, there's no reason to be a Christian. There's no reason at all. The blood of Jesus says it all. And I'm not saying that people are denying the blood of Jesus, but they're discounting it. Please don't do that. I would like to thank Bob for allowing me to talk to his great audience. I always appreciate it. And until next segment, everyone, please don't blindly follow things. Truly search your heart and your mind. Stay strong and never ever forget. Replace fear with faith. Now back to Bob.
Well, thank you, Jim, for sharing your thoughts on some of these critical topics of today. I know it's confusing for many of us, myself at times included. How do you follow all of this? It's not easy. I choose first to be grounded in God's Word and not worry about every little wind of doctrine, opinion, or theology that comes and goes. I need to be, as the Bible says, in the vineyard, doing the work of sharing the good news. And really, in doing a radio program like Truth to Ponder, we spend a lot of time looking at the issues of the day, and we try to put as much as we can into the perspective of what God's Word does say on certain topics. We've dealt with everything from transgenderism, gay marriage, the infiltration of our schools by those that don't really have your best interest of you and your family at heart, corruption in politics. These are just the things we deal with on a day-to-day basis, and I want you to be aware. There are some things we can do. We can be salt and light in this world, as the Bible demands that we should be. But oftentimes, many Christians just resort to the four walls of their church, keep quiet in their jobs, and just try to get by. And nowhere do I see that's what we're called to do. We are to be light and salt in this earth. And that's why this program should, I pray, be a help to you in that endeavor, to understand the battle which we're waging. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We'll come back tomorrow and pick up on a couple of these topics we've talked about today. And if anything else should break in the news, we'll share about that as well. But I need to thank those of you that have stepped up to help keep us going on WTWW. It's been a great help in growing this ministry. If you believe in our work, would you consider supporting us by visiting our website, truth2ponder.com. Look for the support tab. You can give online or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowee, 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 Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowee, 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, Chilhowee, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.